I'm Steve Potter, and this is Cityscape. As If We Weren't There is an exhibit of vintage photos exploring the lives of African Americans from the Emancipation Proclamation to the beginning of the Civil Rights Movement. It opens tonight at the Hands on Black History Museum. St. Louis Public Radio's Aaron Williams talked with Deborah Nelson Link, the curator of the Hands on Black History Museum, and with Wiley Price, photojournalist for the St. Louis American and other publications. She began by asking Deborah how she got the idea for her museum.
The idea came last summer when I found a collection of photographs at an antique mall. And there were photographs of African Americans that I rarely ever find in my hunting. And I thought that they were a start for a project, so I just kind of put them aside when I found them.
So you picked them all up?
I picked all that they had.
Okay.
And made several trips back.
Oh, wow. That is something interesting. You know, I often see in antique stores and things like that, they'll have like, you know, you can buy this photo or what, you know, buy for a dollar and things like that. You never do see any African Americans.
No. They're not found. And if they are, they're very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And this collection was decently priced, so that I was able to get all of the unique shots and just shots I had never seen before, and just with the age of the photographs.
So you put them to the side, but then I'm guessing that the wheels started to turn a little bit.
As they always do. They started to turn, and I thought, what can I do with these photographs? And immediately the faces of the people photographed spoke to me, and they were asking for their stories to be told. I tried to figure out what I could do with that in connection with the museum, and it came to me that it should be a storytelling, something with storytelling.
You posted the photos online when you originally started the Wheel Start to Turn to develop this into an exhibition.
Yes, only because I scanned the pictures and was trying to kind of catalog what I had and think about what I had. And at that point, I had the idea to start the exhibit and do this just in pictures and not in words, but to tell a story with pictures. And so I used some of my parents' photos from their scrapbooks, who were born in the 20s, and asked friends and neighbors and anybody who would hold still for photographs that I could add to it, and started out with a goal of collecting 100 and ended up with 300 plus photos and got two more last night.
Wow. Now, Mr. Price, did you put in any photos as well?
I'll be exhibiting a select group of photos that I've shot over my past 30 years.
Okay.
That kind of like a modern day continuation of what she's already started.
I started with the Emancipation Proclamation.
Okay.
And ending with the beginning of the Civil Rights era.
Okay.
Specifically that time, because I saw that as a tremendous time of growth for African Americans.
Now, there is one thing that was interesting to me about the photos. They show African Americans in very ordinary aspects of their lives. You know, they're, you know, going to war, Christmas parties, being with their families, things like that. It's just how we live and how things go. You know, there are no amazing moments. And that's kind of what life is about in some ways. It's not necessarily the big, huge, prolific moments. It's the everyday things.
And that's what we're lacking, is seeing those pictures. We've grown up with lots of other pictures in our heads, and we don't see those pictures of African Americans not doing the extraordinary, that they were living their lives, they were having their families, they were working and going to school and doing all of those things. And it made me start to wonder, what would the world have looked like if we had grown up with those pictures, if everyone had grown up with those pictures? It would have been a more complete story of what America really looks like, instead of just raising up a handful of people.
Hence the name of the exhibit, which is As If We Weren't
As
There.
As If We Weren't There.
Now, Mr. Price, you have captured Barack Obama and famous leaders and entertainers that have come through the city, as well as the regular, mundane, everyday lives. I believe you were telling me before we started that one of your first assignments was taking photos of a snowstorm that blanketed St. Louis some 30 years ago.
Right, yes. And, you know, that's always been my focus. I've never wanted to shoot famous people. I wanted to shoot John Q. Public, but the African-American side of it. And it was something that was always lacking, and I was always aware of it, because growing up in my house, my parents always had Look and Life magazine on the table, Ebony. You know, and I always knew that if it wasn't for Ebony, I wouldn't really see us in these other publications, or it might be an ad, you know, and that's it. That's the only place you see us, you know. And so I always wondered, why are we being ignored like this? I mean, is it racist? What is it? But, you know, it's a culture that started a long time ago. And particularly once integration came in, African-American newspapers lost their real footing in their own community. Because now, you know, we could go anywhere and do whatever we wanted. We could go to any college, you know, that we wanted. So they took a hit. And because of that, now that we're trying to work our way back into society's culture as one big community, it's been almost something that's been considered like popular right now to get an African-American, you know, doing something, you know, even with commercials and advertising the way it is. You see us more on TV than you ever have in commercial spots now that have nothing to do with race. It just has to do with human services. And that's what I've been promoting, that we live our lives each day fully.
Now, let me ask you something. You started off with...
I started off at the St. Louis American.
The St. Louis American. Yeah. But at the same time, you've also shot for, you've done freelance work for the Associated Press.
Yes.
And publications like that. What was the difference in the images that you were shooting? Like if you were shooting for the American and for Ebony, mm-hmm. but then you'd be shooting for the Associated Press and other mainstream type of publications.
The difference was when I would get hired for by outside sources to do something in St. Louis, I was always looking for that diversity that they weren't used to seeing. And sometimes a photo editor would call me and go, how'd you find this person? And I was like, well, they were participating in the event, you know.
But, they were on the street.
Yeah, but, you know, it's just like when they see everything else that was shot there, they didn't see us. And I said, well, I'm looking for us. Even just recently, during the primaries last year, I was at Lacey Kay's campaign headquarters. And one of the photographers at the Post said to me, we've been mandated to show more diversity in our photos because of you. And I said to myself, I've been preaching that to you guys for 30 years, but nobody was listening. I said, and now you're kind of like having your arm twisted to go out and not just shoot that person in front of you. Go look for diversity in the event that you're attending.
It's not an anomaly anymore. It's now becoming part of the mainstream.
Yes.
So with your exhibit, it's going to be displayed at Christ Church Cathedral, just throughout the nave of the church and within the public areas. What do you hope that people, when they're looking at these images, what do you want them to learn and see?
There are a couple of things that I would like for people to think about when they're looking at the pictures. First of all, just the idea that these are just everyday people, that this is what people looked like in the 20s and in the late 1800s and things like that. So there's that information there. But also the pictures are divided up into work and military and romance, and it's to see what African-American life looks like. If you were invited into a home and someone pulled out the old scrapbook and this is the pictures that they would see. And I really feel strongly that many of the pictures are telling a story, that you just have to look in the faces of the people and how they're positioned in the photographs and in their eyes and the stories that they're telling. And the other thing is that I hope that it starts conversations for people. One of the things that when I showed a friend of mine the pictures, he said, wow, I have pictures just like this, only the faces are white in them. You know, my grandmother lived on a farm and had this kind of dress and was a big, stocky, kind of solid woman who did this hard farm work and everything. And it brought back memories. And so it was that kind of realization that, gosh, your family doesn't look that different than mine.
Now, were there any surprising or arresting images that you saw that you weren't expecting to uncover when you were doing all of your exploration?
What I had really expected was that I would get this large collection of photographs and that I would weed through them and find enough for an exhibit. And I loved all of them. And just, I guess what was outstanding was that they were so striking. So I have pictures of black surgeons that are operating in the operating room. I have a picture of my mom with Mary McLeod Bethune. I have pictures of a striking photo of a man that's on a mountain and in a rowboat, and just it's just extraordinary shots that you can just stare at and live with. And so I hope that people will kind of take those in and think about how that not just the African Americans have been deprived of seeing these pictures, except if they grew up with them, but all of us have been deprived because of that.
Now, Mr. Price, let me ask you, what is the importance of still depicting African-Americans in regular everyday life? You know, it seems that photography is so much more accessible now. People can take photos. Anything that you take a photo of, it, depending on who sees it, can become just a big, huge blowout on the internet, you know, in social media, things like that. What's the importance of still catching, oh, this is me having dinner with a friend. This is me, you know, hanging out at my desk, seeing my mom.
Because it's simply chronicles a person's life. The one thing that's really nice about Facebook that I think people really forget about, Facebook is a wonderful historical document 300 years from now. It will always be around, and it will show this entire planet living a full life. It's not a news service, but it is a daily issue of what we're doing. I mean, you can look at some people's Facebook and see what they've done for the entire day. You know, because they're
which
posting
it. Which
could
be a good or a bad thing.
Yeah, they're posting it. They,
depending on how,
they want you to
what
know.
They post.
Right, but they want you to know what I've been doing all day. There's nothing really wrong with that, as long as you're just simply observing a person's lifestyle.
How has the conversation changed?
I think the conversation has changed in a way that outside of the African-American community, all the other cultures are starting to embrace everyone at the same time. I mean, look how many diversity programs are going on in companies these days. It's almost nerve-wracking to me that, oh, I'm going to go do another diversity story. You know, it kind of makes me a little irritated because I'm like, didn't we take care of this in the 60s? You know, why are we still doing these stories? You know, so, you know, and it's hard to change a culture. It's hard enough to change a culture inside of a company or a business, let alone an entire society. You know, that's not going to happen overnight. So, you know, people say, well, slavery was so long ago. I'm like, in the space of time, not really. That was last weekend. It's good that we're on this path, but we need to stay on it. We cannot go back.
And have it outside of February, outside of,
yes,
you know, just this moment. Yes. It needs to continue to resonate.
Yes, it does.
One of the things that Wiley and I had talked about a little bit earlier is one of the things that I loved about the photographs. He sent me some photographs to include in the exhibit that I needed to frame. And one of the things that I loved was that he sent me pictures of groups of people in everyday life, but they were mixed groups and not just deliberately. They were just thoughtful pictures of what Americans look like. And the importance of that is that he's documenting that and showing that in very natural ways, and it ends up in different publications, whereas it was very specific before, just to a black publication, just to the, you know, to a white publication that things were designated. But he has this overlap that is really neat to see.
2 years ago, I was asked by Forest Park if I might have some photos of African Americans using the park. And I almost didn't take them seriously. I was thinking, what kind of question is that? I got a ton of photos. She was just so blown away by the fact that I had this huge content of African Americans participating in Forest Park. And I was like, but we've been doing this since before I was born. I even wound up giving them pictures of my family in Forest Park. I said that to say this. She was so impressed by it. We were doing this for an African American award ceremony for Black History Month. I wound up getting the award because they thought I was such a big help and getting them to find African-Americans. And I just thought, I know these photographers around town have African-Americans in Forest Park, because how can you avoid them?
Mm-hmm. And but, how can you avoid Forest Park?
Yeah.
And
they were just amazed. And I was like, I can't believe you all are this excited about this. I've been doing this for 30 years.
That was St. Louis American photojournalist Wiley Price and Deborah Nelson Link, curator of the Hands-On Black History Museum, speaking with St. Louis Public Radio's Aaron Williams. As If We Weren't There opens with a reception from 7 until 9 this evening at Christ Church Cathedral and will continue throughout the month. Wiley Price will speak at Christ Church Cathedral Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. And coming up next on Cityscape, graphic designer and blogger Bryony Gomez Palacio. This is St. Louis Public Radio.